Our readings today are from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine came out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jugs for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chef steward, the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water, when the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants had drawn the water, knew, the servants called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. The second reading, John, verse 1, 28 to 20, 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Here endeth the reading. Amen.
Last week we began with a prayer, and I'd like to use that prayer from Psalm 19 again for this moment. "These are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on this morning altar. O God, my altar rock, God, priest of my altar. Amen." Some years ago, Max and I were exploring the beautiful Swiss town of Lugano. And we strolled along the ridge, looking down on the terracotta roofs, and then we met an older lady. And we commented on the beauty of the town spread before us "You think this is beautiful?" she said. "Come and see." She was very imperious. She waved her stick. And it was indeed grand. As we look beyond the red rooftops of the little city out to the shimmering lake of Lugano and the majestic mountains framing the scene, she knew just where to show us to watch. "Come and see," became a catch cry which Max picked up on, and he used it often along with, "Look at that." Both today's readings are preceded by an invitation or a call from Jesus. In John's Gospel, the two young men are following Jesus and he turns and asks, "What are you looking for?" "Rabbi, where are you staying?" they respond. And Jesus says, "Come and see." In a sense, that's the framework for what follows, for the bigger, more amazing view that this charismatic person is inviting them into. And they are gifted with the Spirit's insight as they spend the rest of the day with Jesus. And then they want to share their encounter with Andrew's brother Simon Peter. "We've found the Messiah," they tell him, in awe and certainty. Amy Jill Levine comments on this and explains that Messiah is translated from anointed one, Christos, Christ. They gather more curious followers, including Nathaniel, who's in awe as well. "Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." And Jesus says, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The adventure is moving into the wondrous. Jesus seems to have alluded to Jacob's dream recorded way back in the Genesis story. Jesus is the ladder connecting heaven and earth. Thank you, Elke, for bringing our Bible readings to us today. And you began with, "On the third day." And the writer, it seems, is pointing the listener to another third day, when the unbelievable happened. You all know. The third day when Jesus was raised from the dead. Our readings are currently guided by Brian McLaren's study book, We Make the Road by Walking. And some of us are meeting on Wednesday afternoons or evenings and find the study challenging and inspiring, and really a treasured time. And there is always room for more people at these studies. Each chapter concludes with a few questions, but the first question is always, what one thought or idea from today's lesson especially intrigued or provoked, disturbed, challenged, encouraged, warned, or warmed, helped, or surprised you? And so far today, with our worship, our words, and especially our Bible readings, I wonder what you would answer to this point. "On the third day," raised a flag for me. Pay attention. "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited." It's early in their adventuring days following this rabbi Messiah. It's a symbolic story of a wedding of love and a new journey together, and the great banquet that probably lasted through days of celebration. And then there's a hint of despair. For this setting and this culture, this lack of wine could be disastrous. But this story tells of the miraculous beyond belief sign Jesus gave, turning plain water into wine, the first glimpse of his glory. Jesus, in connecting heaven with earth and earth with heaven, is enabling transformation and bringing divine abundance into the world of human lack, absolute generosity into scarcity. In this exchange between Jesus and his mother, I sense something whimsical between two who know each other so intimately, but also with understanding of the deeper hidden layers. So the answer to what concern is that to you and me is everything. Yet Jesus knows his hour, the fullness of his saving, transforming presence has not yet arrived. Indeed, that will not occur fully until he takes the sour wine at the cross, where his dear mother will be nearby, witnessing his pain through her tears, and he again will call her woman. Such are the layers and threads of this story John has woven for us. Jesus will entrust her to the beloved disciple's care and give her another son. A new family and a new community will begin. We read, his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So Jesus instructs them to fill the 6 huge jars with water. How big must they have been? You probably can't all see, but behind there's a red terracotta vase that's holding our tree. And it might hold perhaps 3 gallons. It's one Fran gave us. But 20 or 30, well, that would have taken ages to fill. Lots of obedience and lots of curiosity. And finally, lots of top quality wine just brimming over. These 6 stone water jars are for the ritual purification of the Jewish people. They're to wash their bodies clean, making them acceptable to God. And now Jesus ushers in a new era. Cleanness, closeness to God, communion with God in abundant grace, brimming with life and vitality. In John chapter 4, John records Jesus declaring, "The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water that wells up to eternal life." John Shea, a writer, says, "Wine is a symbol of spirit, vivifying the entire human person from within." This chapter in our study guide is entitled Significant and Wonderful. Significant, as in with a sign. And there are signs pointing to God at work and God beckoning and God creating and making truly alive. Signs in both of today's stories. During Advent, we had the yellow signs as reminders that in looking for God's presence, we need to be alert and aware. And they were the signs as we entered today. And as we leave, awake and alive are perhaps more relevant for us. Well, as for wonderful, the wondrousness is all around us. As we hear when we talk with one another, one of our young friends at study group the other night passed on the news that the ozone layer, after 35 years of concentrating on what might be causing all the damage, the ozone layer is starting to mend again. I think it's incredibly wondrous. And Jeff's been reminding me the last few weeks when he comes just how much more his sunflower is growing from a seed that he was given at the Blue Christmas service. Things are wondrous indeed. God longs to bless us with his steadfast love and mercy, generosity and abundance, and through his followers open others up to blessing and to awareness. Brian McLaren asks some thought-provoking, imagination-stirring questions. What are we running out of? What are the stone containers of our day? What would it mean for empty containers to be filled with abundant grace, life and vitality, generosity? What might it mean for Jesus to repurpose containers used to separate clean from unclean? Let your imagination run with these exuberant miracle stories. And McLaren writes, after people met Jesus, they started telling wild, inspiring stories like these, stories full of gritty detail, profound meaning, and audacious hope. They felt their emptiness being filled to overflowing. They watched as their lifelong obsession with clean and unclean was replaced with a superabundant, super celebration, joy. They felt their anxiety and paranoia fade, and in their place, faith and courage grew. They experienced their blindness ending as they began to see everything in a new light. That's why these stories had to be told, and that's why they have to be told today. I think these stories bring us to another A word, amazed. Open your hearts and minds and all your senses to wonder and respond to God's come and see, and say more and more often, look at that. My response is to quote Paul's words from Ephesians chapter 3, in the Message. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. And so we long for a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Would you like to sing that song together?